Let me lead us in prayer. Lord, thank you for this gathering in your name, this occasion to call upon you and to know that you are a present help in our time of need, that you're here to make a difference in our life. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you reign supreme, and we acknowledge your lordship, your sovereignty, your supremacy. And we just pray, Lord, that your spirit now would speak to our hearts and do a work in our lives. In Christ's name, amen. Amen. How many have heard a phrase that says it's more blessed to give than to receive? Anyone familiar with that phrase? Perhaps we've all heard that at some point or other. Now, typically when we hear that, what comes to our mind? What's the idea that we begin to get when we hear that, or when that phrase is emphasized? What is your thought on that? When you hear that, what does that immediately begin to say to you based on what you've heard or understood in the past? Anybody?
Well, to me, you get more joy out of giving than receiving.
Uh-huh.
But I was also told if you can't receive,
yeah,
you got me out of balance.
Okay, that's an interesting perspective. Anybody else? What have you heard about that phrase? It's more blessed to give than to receive.
What God gives you to bless other people with.
Uh-huh. Right, yeah, so it's a matter of what are we receiving. Uh-huh. And what's the important thing? Well, what else?
Being charitable.
Right, the importance of being charitable or generous. Uh-huh. But I want to go back a little bit to what Lucy referred to there. But let's look, as we do, at where that's found in the book of Acts, chapter 20, and verse 35. And the Apostle Paul is kind of wrapping up his time with the church at Ephesus, and he's giving some closing remarks. Acts chapter 20 and verse 35. And notice what he says there. He says, "I have showed you all things, how that so laboring you ought to support the weak, and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive." Now, that's the words of our Lord. If you go back through the Gospels, you don't find anything quite exactly like that. So either he said it in a time that it was not recorded here, or it's a vague reference to the Lord Jesus in some other statements he made which dealt with this matter of giving or receiving. But let's just think about what the Apostle Paul has just told us. It's more blessed to give than to receive. And you remember what Lucy said about what she had also heard about being out of balance there. The reality is, you cannot give what you have not received. Okay, think about it. You cannot give what you have not received. Now, the point of today's message is about receiving. And the truth is, we are all receivers. So the question is, what are we receiving? Now, as she was telling us, some of us are prone to only receive material things. And so that's what we're focused on. But it's got to go beyond that, to something beyond that, as in to specifically receiving of the Lord and receiving from the Lord. So the question would be, not only what are you receiving, but from whom are you receiving it? See, who are you receiving it from? Who are you looking to give or to supply or to provide? Now, when our kids were little, like Daniel, I mean, they just kept looking to us. It's like, And even as kids get older, and more so even I notice today, they just naturally expect or assume that mom and pop are going to come through. It's like, just hold out your hand and they're supposed to give. You know, it's like it's just ingrained. It's like that's your job, as it were. That's what you're supposed to do. So here I am. What are you going to give me today? You know, what do I get now? It's like it's Christmas time. I'm supposed to get what?
A present.
Yay! And yesterday we went and spent the afternoon with our grandson while he had a birthday party. And of course at a party for a birthday, you get presents. And so sure enough, there they were all stacked. And he did all of his fun stuff with his friends. But he kept looking at all those presents wrapped in those nice boxes. But of course he was not impressed with the beautiful wrapping, ladies. I mean, it looks nice to you, but that's not what got his attention. He knew there was something inside there that he was most certainly going to like because his friends had picked it out, or at least helped their mom pick it out. So, but he was so anxious, and several times he kept saying, "Can I open the presents now?" And they would say, "No, you have to wait. It's too hectic now. It's too, we're doing other things now, other plans, other activities." And so finally the time came, and he just tore into the presents. He didn't ooh and aah over how pretty they were or how nice the bow was. He just ripped in, and he wasn't even really impressed with the packaging. There was one thing he had in mind, and that was to get to the contents. What's really there? What's on the inside, and what can it do? How can I use it? How can I put it to use? So you know what? He took it. He received those as his. He took them and made them his own, and he immediately began to put them to use. And in the reality of God's kingdom, God's way is the way of receiving, because that, in fact, is what faith really involves. We can say we have faith, but the issue of faith entails receiving. And so when he says here, it's more blessed to give than to receive, what he first of all is telling us is, you first got to receive, and you must see there is a blessing in receiving if you receive it from the right person, if you receive from the Lord. If you receive from him, then therein lies the blessing. But you must first receive it from the Lord. Now, what that tells us is, yes, it's more blessed to give, but he's not saying that receiving is wrong or bad. He's saying receiving is good and necessary. In fact, it's blessed to receive. It's just more blessed to give. So what he's just told us is, don't just hoard things up and be a consumer like the rest of old planet Earth is, but be one who, having received, is also freely giving. Because in fact, when Jesus spoke about this matter, he said, freely you have received. That is, it was not through works of righteousness we have done. It was not through merits of our own that we received. So we receive freely. And therefore, Jesus said, freely give. Freely give. Gladly give. Give generously. Give liberally. So giving and receiving are both intertwined, and we must first receive. We must first be a receiver. Now, as a receiver, let's look at another thing about this in this matter of prayer. In the Gospel of Mark, in Mark chapter 11, verse 24, Jesus is telling us here about this whole matter of what real faith is. And as we pray, a lot of people pray. Even people that don't know or believe in God pray, because they kind of think out there somewhere, just maybe, God exists. And so we pray oftentimes. And certainly as Christians we pray, because we've been told and taught how important and how good that is. But most of us in our prayers are really just mouthing words. Or oftentimes we're genuinely asking, but we're not asking with a view to receiving. And the true prayer of faith is the prayer that you pray with the view to receiving. So let's look here in Mark chapter 11, verse 24. Therefore I say unto you, Jesus' words, what things soever you desire, when you pray, now we're getting down to it, when you pray, that is when you talk to God, that's what prayer is, you know, talking to God. So when you pray, do what? Believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. What Jesus is saying to us there is that believing and receiving are very much intertwined. We often refer to Christians as believers. And we are believers by virtue of the fact that we have believed upon the Lord Jesus Christ and we have been saved. That is, we have entrusted our life to him. But a true believer is one who stays in an attitude or with a disposition of receiving. So it's an ongoing, it's a way of life. It's a way of life. That's why we're told we walk by faith and not by sight. And I may get back to that verse later. But to walk by faith means it's an ongoing attitude of receptivity. So we constantly stay in this mode of receptivity. So look at it again. He says, when you pray, believe that you receive it and you shall have it. Believe that you receive and you shall have. Now, many years ago, I was a youth minister, and I would travel around the United States, and I would work with young people, and we used to have long conferences that went for 7 days, and I would minister 2 hours a night. And we went to a small rural city in Texas for this particular conference that I'm telling you about, and when we arrived there, we found out the church had been in much turmoil and personal conflict, and they had taken sides, and there were issues, and some had dropped out, and others just stayed in and just were sort of butting heads. And the pastor said, you know, we're not even going to be able to take an offering because nobody wants to give and nobody wants to do anything really. And he said some of the parents are not going to bring their kids. And he said, we only average 3 young people. And I was the youth minister. And he said, you're only going to have at most 3. And I'm not even sure all of them are going to come because of the parents. And immediately in my spirit, I heard God saying, trust me for 10. And so I told him, I said, I'm believing God that by the end of the week, we will have at least 10 young people. In fact, I said, by faith, I received those 10 young people. And you know, by the end of the week, we had 13. 13. So more than 10, more than 3, most definitely, and more than 10, and 13. So, but the amazing thing about it was who came. One of the young people that came was the president of the student body in his high school. He was a senior in high school, and the Spirit of God touched his life in such a powerful way during that week that he went back and said on Friday, he says, we have a school rally and there's a program and I'm in charge and I want to turn the program over to me, to Lewis, to this youth minister. And I want him to come and share with the students. And so the principal checked it out with the committee and they all agreed it was okay and they let me come. And so here, they had never in that school ever had anyone get to come and talk to them about the Lord. But I just very openly and candidly began to talk about the Lord Jesus Christ and the difference he had made in my life. I gave my testimony, I shared scripture, and they were all amazed. And afterward, many of the teenagers came to the front, maybe like 300 or 400 students in that student body. But they came to the front and began to ask questions and began to have a seeking heart for God. But you see, it all started by a simple act of faith called receiving. So we must believe with the view to receiving. And that's why Jesus tells us here, believe that you receive it and what? You shall have it. That is, you will see your faith become sight. That which is invisible will become visible. That which is intangible will become tangible. You will see it, you'll touch it, you'll have it. If you believe that you receive it, you shall have it. So Jesus wants us to understand how important this is. Now, in this area of receiving, though, it's something that is from the beginning. So let's look at Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2, because when I say from the beginning, what I mean is this. It's the way we begin the Christian life, and it's the way we are to live the Christian life. So in Colossians chapter 2, verse 6, the Apostle Paul explains. Colossians chapter 2, verse 6. As you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him. As you have received Him, so walk in Him. In other words, he's saying, just as you began the Christian life by receiving Christ Jesus as Lord, you are to now walk in Him in an attitude of receptivity. So that in this walk of faith, you're continually receiving from Him. You're receiving, first of all, from Him as your Lord and Savior, eternal life, salvation. So you receive Him in that way. But then he says, you continue to walk with that attitude of receptivity toward Christ. So you're now receiving Him as your Lord, as your life, as your all. So whatever the need is today, you receive Him. I receive you as my peace today. I receive you as my joy. I receive you as the source and supply of my every need. So whatever the physical need or the tangible need, whatever the issue, Lord, I am receiving you in that capacity. My God shall supply all your need, how? Through His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. So Christ is the means by which we receive, and we receive from Him, and He then makes it happen in our lives. For of Him and through Him and to Him are all things. So it all originates with Him. It is produced by Him in order that the glory goes to Him. See? So it all is about Christ and what He can and will do in us if we'll let Him. If we'll let Him. As a youth minister, I had a group of young people that began to really take the Lord seriously and began to realize, wait a minute, what I see the Lord doing in you, our example, our minister, our youth minister, that's what we want Him to do in us. And so they just began to think, well, He can do it in me, what He does in you. And sure enough, He began to do that. And so these teenagers began to go, and these football players and whatever, and they would go, and they would share with their friends at school, and pretty soon some of their friends began to accept Christ, and their attitude changed, just like you saw with your the person that was staying with you. That attitude changed. Because why? Christ changes us on the inside, where it makes a permanent difference. And so he began to change the attitude and the atmosphere of those young people. So before, they just wanted to have fun and games, and it's good to have fun and it's good to play games, but there's more to life than fun and games. And so they began to discover we could enjoy each other and we could have fun, but we could, more than that, we could have fulfillment, meaning, and purpose in our life through Christ. And so suddenly they saw a higher purpose and a higher meaning in and through their lives to what Christ could do. And the Lord began to make a difference in that community, even so much so that the fifth and sixth grade brothers and sisters saw the change that Christ brought in their big brother and sister. And they came to me, these children, and they said, "We want in our life what we see in our big brother or our big sister. We want to have that kind of relationship where Jesus Christ does in us what we see him doing in them. We want to be those kind of people." And I said, "Okay, you can be." So I became their Sunday school teacher, and I began to work with them. And so they started carrying little New Testaments around, and they started reading to their friends. And in fact, one time they actually kicked us out of Dairy Queen, because there were six of us, and and we all went in Dairy Queen, and they were sitting there with their little friends that were at the Dairy Queen, these other fifth and sixth graders, and they had their Bibles out, and they were all reading the Bible, and the manager came and said, "Look, I don't know what's going on, but this doesn't look right. I mean, we can't just have kids sitting around in here reading their Bibles to each other." And I said, "Well, I don't see a problem." They said, "Well, we do, so we need you to take it outside." So, okay, so we went outside, you know, and then we ended up going over to where some other kids were playing football in the field. And so these children, these fifth and sixth graders, they went out to the football field in between plays, and they started telling their friends about the Lord. And several of these kids, I'd say five or six, got down on their knees right there in the middle of this football field and prayed and gave their life to Christ. There is no limit in the Lord if you become a receiver of his mercy and grace, if you become a receiver of his divine life, so that you and I suddenly realize, wait, we are divine receptacles. We are designed by God to contain the life of God, which comes to us in the form of Jesus Christ. And as we receive him, he begins to impart his strength and power in and through us, and he reaches out through us, and suddenly we who have received begin to give what we've now received, which is life, and more abundantly. So now we're operating as receiver. As you receive Christ, you walk in him. But let's go with a little more clarification on this matter of receiving and how did we receive him. Let's go over to the book of Ephesians, chapter 2. How do we receive Christ? What does he mean about receiving Christ? So in Ephesians chapter 2, in verse 8, and a familiar verse to many, Ephesians 2 and 8, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God." It is the gift of God. You are saved. To be saved means to be delivered from Satan's dominion, to be saved from your sins, and to be restored into the kingdom of God. So now we have new life in Christ. We've been saved. We've been salvaged. Think of it as a vehicle or some item that's been damaged and marred and scarred, and it's really thrown out. A very nice bicycle that somebody had put out at the Goodwill, and they didn't want it anymore. And so when I went up there, they said, "Yeah, you can have it. Nobody wants it." It looked nice, but several things about it were broken. They needed to be fixed. It was seemingly a useless item. So I took it, and I put it back together the right way, and it became my grandson's gift. He rode it yesterday. He liked it. It looked nice. Had a few little scratches, not many. A few little dings on the seat, but basically, it was a good bike. And once it was restored as it should be to its original design, it began to function as it was intended to function. Now, in Christ, he restores us, he renews us, and he makes us whole. And so what he's saying here is, that's what it means to be saved. He takes a life that was otherwise dead and void of life. He takes a life that had been trashed and smashed, abused, and reality is we've all been abused by that old serpent, the devil, the ultimate abuser. And so all of us have experienced abuse of some form, physical, mental, emotional, spiritual, and he takes that life and he restores it and makes it whole. And that's what salvation is. But how does it happen? Look what he says. By grace are you saved. By grace. Grace means God does the work. By grace are you saved. Grace means God gives us. And what does he give us? Salvation, which comes in the person of Jesus Christ. By grace are you saved, but he adds, through faith. Faith is how we connect with God. God does the work in the person of Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ, as he hung on that cross and died for our sins, said, it's finished. He's saying, I did the work, it's a good work, it's a perfect work, and now it's finished. And I now am the provision for all your needs because he arose from the dead 3 days later as the resurrection and the life, to say to you and I come to make available to you resurrection life. The same life that raised Jesus from the dead is available to come and live in us and raise us up from this old dead, dormant state that we are in and give us a new life. And not just so we can go to heaven when we die, but so we can now live. Because remember, as you receive Christ Jesus the Lord, you are to walk in him. So it's to give us new life so we can walk in newness of life. He says in Romans 6:4, you've been raised for what purpose? To walk in new life. And so he's saying, now look, I give you resurrection life so that you can now walk in it. So you can live in a new way. Not to try to act different, not to try to imitate Jesus, but just let him be himself in you. And let him do what he does best, which is all things well. As you receive Christ, so walk in him by grace through faith. Now faith, see, is our element. So through faith now, he's already provided, and by faith I receive. By faith I receive. Now the first thing we receive is we must receive Christ, which takes us over to what we're told about the Lord Jesus in the Gospel of John chapter 1. Gospel of John chapter 1. And remember, we're just talking about receiving, which is the faith side of the equation. You've got the grace side, God gives, but you've got the faith side, I receive. So John chapter 1. In verse 12, John 1:12. But as many as did what? As many as received, and received what? Him. Okay, so the first and most essential thing about receiving is we're going to receive from God his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. So we're going to receive him. That's what we're going to do. So faith involves me receiving from God, who is the giver of every good and perfect gift. We're going to receive from him his greatest gift, his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. We're going to receive him. We're going to receive a person. We're not going to receive just a set of doctrines. We're not going to receive just information or just a bunch of facts or a bunch of truths or scientific evidence. We're going to receive a person, and we're going to receive him. Now, in receiving him, we have all that God is and all that God has. We've been blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. All God's resources are in Christ. Christ is now in me. Therefore, all of his life in me is available to operate through me. So he's in me. Verse 16 says, of his fullness have all we received. So once you receive him, you're receiving him in his fullness. He's not coming in some piecemeal fashion. He's coming in totality. So all of Christ is in me, and all of Christ in me, he wants to be through me. Okay, think about it again. Everything Jesus is, he is in me. And everything he is in me, he wants to be what? Through me. Through me. So it's his life in me in order that it might be his life through me. See, and the through me part is the giving. So that's the blessed to give. But first I receive. So the blessedness of receiving is that I receive him, his life in me, in order that now I might experience his life as I go, in order that he then might live his life through me. That is to say, others might see Jesus in me. Others might experience his life as a result of seeing the difference. The very same thing that those fifth and sixth graders did when they saw Christ operating through big brother and sister. And they said, hey, that's what I want. That's what I'm looking for. As many as received Christ, to them gave he power, the authority, the ability to become, what? Sons of God, children of God, the family of God, containing the life of God. even to them, and there he qualifies, even to them that believe on his name. So again we see believing and receiving are intricately intertwined. They're connected or interconnected in a way that they're inseparable. So if I'm really and truly believing, then I will be what? Receiving. So we stay in a mode of receptivity. So it's one thing to say, okay, I'm praying, I'm asking God, oh Lord, do this or that. All right, one evening at a very large conference where I was assisting with some of the other conference speakers, and I was standing at the back ministering to some people, and these three women came up and they said, oh, are you with the conference? And I said, yes. How can I help you? They said, well, here's how you can help us. They said, our friend here, her daughter ran away from home when she was a teenager, and that was about 3 or 4 years ago. And we haven't heard from her since until just recently. We learned she was out in Dallas, Texas, and she's living with a man, and she's doing drugs, and she's drinking, and she's just trashing her life away. And so our hearts are broken, especially this mother here. And so we're praying for this daughter to be saved. We're praying that God would restore her and bring her home. Now, I heard them, and I said, okay, here are three women who are praying. Okay, they're asking. Okay, but if you only keep asking and you never truly believe or receive, then it's like you're at the threshold and you never enter in. So I told him, I said, all right, let's join hands. I said, I see that you are praying and that you have faith. But now it's time. You've been asking. Now it's time for us to receive. Believe that you receive it and you shall what? Have it. So I said, let's receive. So we stood in a circle. We held hands. And I just said, Father, You see the heart of these three women, especially this dear mother, how they have been praying, their heart has been agonizing, they've been grieving, and they've been trusting, and yet, Lord, all this time, the daughter is still out there. But you know where she is, and you know what she needs, and this night, in Jesus' name, we receive her salvation, and we receive her restored. And then it came to my mind about that wild man of Gadara, that demoniac, that was out there running around the tombs and just out of control until Jesus showed up. And when Jesus showed up, that wild, out of control person suddenly came to the feet of Jesus and sat down and was clothed in his right mind. Jesus did a miracle and restored this person because of his presence and power. So I said, Lord, in the same way, we're receiving this daughter brought home, restored to her parents, and made whole in Jesus' name. Amen. The next morning, phone call. It's the daughter. Mom, last night my whole world fell apart. My whole world fell apart. My boyfriend kicked me out. And now this morning I found I've lost my job. I have nothing. I have nobody. I'm all alone. I'm so afraid. And I'm so ashamed. I'm so ashamed. She said, this daughter says to her mother, I am so sorry for what I've done to you and Dad, the way I've hurt you and mistreated you and took advantage of you. And I've just been crazy. I don't know. I've been out of my mind. And is it too much to ask? Could I please come home? Could I please come home? By the end of the week, while I was still there, she got home. The following Sunday, I had the privilege of preaching in her church where her parents attended. She sat with her parents right near the front. And as she sat there, the Spirit of God began to deal with her heart. And at the end of the service, she came and said, I'm so ashamed. I've been so wrong. And I need Jesus. I need to be forgiven. I need to be restored. I need to be made whole. I need a new life. I need a new beginning. And you know what? She got it. That very day, what had happened? A group of people went from just saying words, praying words, to saying by faith, Lord, we receive. We receive. We receive. And the Lord God Almighty, through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, brought heaven to earth. And a miracle took place. It's a miracle whenever our lives are changed by the grace of God. And the Lord Jesus is just saying today, yes, it is. It's more blessed to give than to receive. But look here at the verse preceding, John chapter 1, verse 11. It says, he came unto his own, and what?
His own received him not.
His own received him not. This is a sad phrase. Very sad. Are you one of his own? I am. And so often we go through life and we're trudging along and we're encountering problems, we're experiencing difficulty, and we're fretting and fretting and frustrating and just wigging out over what we're going through. And if we would only receive, he came to his own and his own received him not. It's like here he is. He's here. He's a present help, what? In time of need. He's present, ready, available. But we're not always receiving because we don't stay in that mode of receptivity. We're not walking truly by faith. We're walking by sight. And what we see doesn't look good. What we see doesn't feel good. And what we see, well, we don't like it. And so instead of just calling upon the name of the Lord who is present to deliver, restore, make whole, we moan, we groan, we complain, we murmur, just like the Israelite people. They didn't realize that Moses was saying, look, God is here for us now. God is here for us now. And God just wants to remind us all, you are my own if you've received me. If you receive Christ as Lord and Savior, then you are one of his own. And all he's saying is, just receive me in the moment. Paul says, it's the life I now live, Galatians 2:20. Now live. And how do we live? By faith. We walk by faith in an attitude of just receiving in the moment whatever it is we need. He is the supply, and we're just receiving. So we stay in that attitude of receptivity. And as we do, there's a continuous flow. His life in us and through us. In us and through us. In us and through us. Because it's already a life within us. And it just begins to flow out of us and flow through us. So there's another instance, though, that I want to call your attention to. And this is where we'll leave it. And that is in Luke chapter 8 and verse 40. Jesus had done some amazing things among a group of people that were listening and looking and observing, and so, but then he went away, and so, and then he came back through this area. In Luke chapter 8, verse 40, it says that it came to pass that when Jesus was returned, what happened? The people gladly received him, for they were all what? Waiting for him. So, in this attitude of truly walking by faith, this attitude of receiving requires that we're waiting, which involves an expectancy of faith, expectancy that we're expecting. So we're receiving from him, but we're expecting him to work, and we gladly receive him. We don't try to figure it out or analyze it. We just are gladly receiving. Lord, we're taking what you're giving, and even though it doesn't look or feel good on the outside, we're just going to receive you in the midst of the dark and difficult hour that we're in. But we're going to keep receiving you as our inner strength, as our inner joy, our inner peace. And our faith will become sight because of the expectancy of faith. I hold in my hand a miracle. Now, we know that God's Word is a miracle, and it's in fact a miracle that any of us have access to the Word of God. You know, China, which has the most vibrant revival going on in terms of growth of any church, the underground church of China, and yet they have very few Bibles. Most don't have any Bibles. Often, they have just one page, and they each rotate that page, and they save it, and they read that one page over and over if they have any at all. And that's a miracle. But this specific book that I hold in my hand, this specific Bible, is a miracle. Look at this. Is it look old or new?
New.
Okay, look inside. How's it look?
It's pretty new.
Pretty nice. Mm-hmm. Feel that page. How's that cover feel?
Kind of feel
this cover. Stiff,
yeah.
Soft, nice. Look how you can hold it. See, you can turn it like this. You can hold it like that. You can twist it around. It's durable. It's going to last. This is a very nice Bible. This Bible was printed in 1971. Now, I've been having Bibles like this since 1973. This is the fourth one that I own. This Bible went out of print in 1980. I got my last Bible in 1990 because there was a lady kind enough to share with me two Bibles that she had held back in a Christian bookstore in Jacksonville, Florida. And ever since then, I've been praying, believing, and by faith receiving a Bible to replace my other Bible. My other Bible had gotten to the point where the back part had gotten torn. I had to have it re-sewn. And of course, it's very stained because of all my handprints, and it just was wearing out. And I said, Lord, I've got 20 good years left, and I need another Bible. This is my tool. This is a wonderful book to me. I love this book, but I love my specific Bible because, you see, I know exactly what place to turn. I know where it is on the part of the page. I know exactly because I've read it so much. So this is crucial to me. And after all these years, since 1990, by faith, waiting expectantly, believing and receiving, and having looked many times, but it's been several years, and a few weeks ago, I was cleaning out my desk, and I found in the back a little card where I had the detailed information about this particular Bible. It was all written down. And as I looked at it, the thought occurred to me, it must be time to look again. And so I went on the internet, and I checked with eBay, and you know what? It was there, a brand new Bible, still in the box, never been used, waiting for me at just the right time. And if you stay in that attitude of receptivity, though the vision tarry, though it waits for a long time, you just continue to wait patiently and expectantly and always with a view to receiving. And if you'll stay in that attitude of receptivity, your faith will become sight. Let's pray together. So Lord, I thank you for another gathering here at the ranch, at the chapel. Lord, I thank you for each precious person who has come together here in this place today. And may your Spirit stir their hearts to lay hold of you. May your Spirit move upon us, even as you moved upon the face of the deep and caused life to come to a barren planet. Lord, so may your life spring up within us. Spring up, O well, within my soul. Like a river of living water, may you come forth, Lord Jesus. For Lord Jesus, you are the resurrection and the life. And Lord God, I pray that you would grant us the grace of faith to just trust you, believe you, and receive. Cause us to stay in that mode of receptivity so that we can remain in a constant attitude of receiving, of looking to you as both author and finisher of our faith. And thank you that you will, for our faith will become sight. In Jesus' name, amen.